Hello, Brian。
Hello, 妙芬，好久不见。
好久不见。好像有一年了吧？就是
yeah,
没有看到你。
A year and a half. Yeah.
我现在在台北，刚搬家。你呢？
I am in America. I'm in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
哦，东密西根州吗？
哎，
东密西根市。
Right, Eastern Michigan University.
OK, 东密西根大学。那、
right.
你是好像是去年、前年什么时候到台北？我现在有点2020年。
Yeah, I was there for 2 years, about a year, year and a half ago.
Okay. 我们这边是早上10:30左右。
Yeah, here it's nighttime. It's 9:45 at night.
我们大概相差13个小时。对。
Right.
因为今天是世界哲学日，你听过这个日子吗？
Yeah, today's World Philosophy Day is a day that UNESCO set up. I don't know too much about the background of it, do you?
有，我在我的新书里面，法哲学啊，自然法研究里面有提到这个世界哲学日，是大概2005年，那时候在巴黎吧，那个联合国教科文组织他们开的一个大会，然后当时就邀请了在法国的一些哲学家参加，那他们发起了这个世界哲学日，主要是因为说、人权啦、一些基本的这些重要的国际法上面的这些values, human rights、
嗯、
这些人权这些价值必须要透过哲学、来加以推广，比如说它有哲学的思考在里面。
So it started in 2005 at a conference in Paris, with the understanding that philosophy could play a major role in thinking through difficult problems like human rights that the United Nations deals with.
对，那教科文组织嘛 ，UNESCO， 他们就每年都会设计一个主题。那他们那时候定的世界哲学日就定在每年的11月第三个礼拜四，所以今天就刚好是今年的这个礼拜四是世界哲学日。对。
Perfect. Right. So every the third Thursday of every November, and then each year they have a different theme.
对，那今年的主题我觉得非常有趣耶。所以我们这一集的哲学十分钟就来谈一谈今年的主题，叫做未来的人。
This year's theme is the future of humankind.
对，或者他在 UNESCO 的网站他写了 human of the future。
Human of the future. Yeah, that's perfect for our discussion for What's the name of our podcast?
讨论人
clearing the air.
Yeah, clearing the air. 对，哲学十分钟嘛。那我刚讲2005，其实更早，应该在2003，其实就已经开始在UNESCO 就已经开始在积极寻找要跟哲学家合作。对。
2003, they were already thinking about this.
在巴黎的那时候的哲学家参加 UNESCO 的大会，应该就是发起，那时候是发起哲学月，2003，就是那个月份，哲学月，然后慢慢的才订立了世界哲学日，变成每年11月的第三个礼拜四。
Okay. So first they had a philosophy month, and then they designated a philosophy day, which happens to be where you are. It happens to be today, but we still have where I am. It's not Thursday yet, but it will be in a couple of hours. So I think we're within reason to consider this Global Philosophy Day.
Global Philosophy Day. 对，它这个世界哲学日今年的主题啊，它其实有提到说科技对人的影响， 这个我之前在上课有跟学生聊过，就是最近美国的新闻有一个比赛，美术博览会的比赛，在科罗拉多州，就是有一个游戏公司的这个工程师，他很厉害，他利用了一个软体叫 Mid Journey， 然后设计了一个图，那个图得到了数位创作的第一名。
Right.
你知道这个新闻吗？
Yeah, I heard about this too. So the theme, the future of man or humankind for the World Philosophy Day, one way they explain it, you said, is that it has to do with technology, and humankind. And you were in class, one day talking about, a bit in the news that had to do with a person in Colorado who won an art contest. Based on a painting or a digital rendering of a painting created by artificial intelligence. I heard about that too, and I also talked about it in class with my students.
Oh, 你的 students 是 philosophy course, 对不对？哲学课。
Right, this is in my philosophy of art course.
Oh, 尤其是在讲艺术美学的课堂上，那我不知道你们讨论的重点是什么，可以跟我们讲吗？
Sure, I can say a little bit about it. We were talking about the possibility of creativity in computers, which has been a discussion for quite some time in philosophy of art. What is originality? Well, even Kant talked about this. And then if we think about where originality comes from, or if it has any kind of mechanical or formulaic nature to it, then presumably a machine like a computer could also be creative. And then I brought up the complicating factor of artificial intelligence, which doesn't proceed along the same lines as a script in a program. Instead, it learns, and then based on that learning, it changes its behavior.So it's not the traditional kind of computer program that we're used to. So it complicates things.
Oh, 原来你把美学最重要的有关于创作，就是一个艺术的，假设我们可以说是 the nature 或者一个本质 of art， 应该是有创作嘛，创造力。那这个创造力在电脑创作的这个电脑作为这个科技的辅助，事实上过去还是要由人工来创作才会有原创性，但是问题是现在 AI 人工智慧它是会自己自动学习的，所以变成说这个人工智慧它创造出来的东西到底算不算是具有原创性，就变成是挑战原来美学的对于艺术本质的一个思考，对不对？那你们的学生跟你的想法是
？Well, this Jason Allen, who is the person who won the contest, he's been criticized for not being entirely honest. He did join a, like you said, a digital arts category, so that makes sense. And he did mention that he used the AI program called Mid Journey, but he didn't mention that it was an AI program. All he mentioned was that he used Mid Journey, and he relied on the judges to understand what that meant, which they probably didn't. But still, he thinks that he added quite a bit of creativity to the process, because the way that AI rendering works in this kind of situation is you give a prompt to the computer. So for example, I might say sunset on the beach, and then the computer would give me, in this case, Midjourney would give me four options of sunset on the beach, and then I would choose one. And then I can refine the prompt, and I can keep doing it as many times as I like until I get one that I'm happy with. And he says that that whole process was creative, and that's why he should get credit.
OK， 所以其实在比赛的时候这个并没有事先限制说不能用 AI 人工智慧嘛、
right.
那反正就是 digital 的这些数位的、工具都可以用的话，那当然牵涉到说这个 Jason Allen 这个创作者他有没有诚实的交代他使用的 Midjourney 这个 program 他其实是一个 AI 的程式。但你说的很有趣的就是人工智慧的出现，它的演算法跟我们以前知道的或是现在熟悉的电脑演算其实还是有不一样的地方。它会自动学习，那我们会就是这个创作的时候呢，你工程师其实只是输入一些比如说在沙滩上面的落日夕阳，然后这个人工智慧会出现几个图给他看，但如果不满意他可以再做不同的输入然后再修改直到这个、工程师满意为止。那你说这个过程当中也算是这个 Jason Allen 他其实也有他的创意、
嗯、
所以也可以主张说做出来的这个太空歌剧院最后 AI 的做出来的图其实是经过这个 Jason Allen 他的人的这个原创性思考，就是给
yeah, that's his self defense。
他给了 AI 这些足够的养分、知识输入，
right.
然后让 AI 来学习，才可以做出这个图。
Right.
对，不过这是他的说法，你赞成吗？还有你的学生他们
怎么？Well, some of my students were doubtful about it. Some of them wanted to give credit actually to the computer.Saying that's where the original creativity was. But of course, a computer can't win an art contest because they don't have personhood. But that's a whole other question that we deal with in philosophy of mind is whether there'll come a day when artificial intelligence, like some people say animals, should also be accorded personhood.
Personality, 人格
Yeah.
所以问题就会从原创性然后经由 AI 的这个数位艺术造成对于艺术原创性的挑战，这个概念最终会成为是哲学上面对于人的心灵意识的讨论。那你说这会牵涉到人格的问题、
mm-hmm.
Personality 人格一般来说指的应该就是一个有身体有心灵会思考尤其是有感官，我们的感官是美学讨论最重要的，我们接触外在对象做出艺术的判断，做出创作的使用这些最初的这些媒材最重要的途径就是我们的感官 senses。 那可是 AI 并没有这样子的，如果这个 Jason Allen 他是透过 AI 去创造，他其实并没有真的看到沙滩上的夕阳啊，所以这不算是一种感官跟想象力的运用。
Right, right. If a personhood is the criteria of personhood, or that you have a body and you have senses and you use intelligence to perceive the world and then think through the world and then act in the world, then it's hard to say that AI has personhood. And like you said, Jason Allen didn't use his own eyes to view this theater thing that he, this tableau that he midwifed out. So it's hard to say that he's the artist. Yeah, it's a complicating and fascinating topic.
对，那个以前在19世纪的时候啊，回想整个科技跟艺术的结合，事实上大家也曾经担心过说大量的这个傻瓜相机或者现在手机就可以拍照了，这种照相技术会使艺术消灭，会消灭艺术，但其实并没有发生，或其实艺术还是存在的，但是毕竟 camera 这些影视这个制作的 数位的工具，那它毕竟还是被看作是人的感官，眼睛、耳朵、身体的延伸。可是 AI 真的完全不一样， AI 也有自己的人格，这是一个现在在讨论的问题。那对未来的人，我们要怎么去看待 AI 开始跟我们等于是在创作，在原创性会不会是处于一种竞争的状态？除了合作好像也有竞争，比如说这一次就是比赛然后比赛就是不是向下围棋哦，现在是做艺术创作、那做出来的图、人的这个如果不使用 AI 的话，画出来的技术那个细节就没有 AI 那么的特殊，那么的漂亮。可是 AI 的东西又不见得可以制作成一般的图，或者就是它还是存在虚拟空间嘛，对不对？
Yeah.
所以
Yeah, I think the, that's a great analogy that you had with photography. So in photography, like you said,appeared or developed in the 19th century, it was also seen as a threat to art and artists. People thought, well, this is the end of art if we can just... Because at that time, art still had its realistic aspect that you wanted to capture reality in a sense of imitation. And if a photograph could do that better than any artist, then what do we need artists for?But as you also said, the artists adapted, and we got a whole new set of genres in modern art. And maybe that will happen with AI-generated art as well. But as you pointed out, it's not just a tool. We also seem to be competing with it because AI can have its own creativity. It's not just an extension of our senses, it's an extension of our intelligence. So it's a different challenge intellectually for us.
Yeah, 尤其是在谈美学这件事情，因为在美学啊，还有用到著作权，尤其是艺术这块领域，大家都会很关心说，那人所创造出来的著作作品它要受到保护，这就是我们刚才说世界哲学日嘛，就是基于人的基本的这些权利应该要受到尊重，人格。那可是现在有出现争议的时候，像这个美术博览会的比赛，那有时候就是大量的争议会出现在 copyright 著作权。那 AI 所创造出来的，像 Alan 他可以主张这张太空歌剧院什么权利是属于 AI Mid Journey 他的那个 program 还是属于 Alan？
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. Part of the challenge of thisfuture of humankind is to think about what kind of rights we have in the future with respect to technology and whether they might change or be enhanced or be challenged. And the question he raises, so Jason Allen, he's the one who received the award, but a lot of the creativity per se didn't come from him. It came from AI. So there are a couple of ways to look at this, and you're a specialist in the law, so I imagine you have an important perspective here. But what I'm wondering is, could we give the award to the AI? In that case, we could ascribe it personhood. Or could we give the award to Jason Allen and say he's the one? That's his preferred way to look at it, of course. Or perhaps it's a team.Effort, or perhaps we say that AI deserves it, but since AI doesn't have personhood, nobody gets it. And there's also the complicating factor that the way that AI learns is by scraping images and data off the web, off the internet. So all of the content in the AI, or much of it, could itself be copyrighted. And that's problematic when it comes to producing the output, because the output, if it's generated off of copyrighted material, could conceivably be protected.
Yeah, 这些关于整个人工智慧它慢慢的进步，越来越进步，会取代我们的自然人。我的书写自然人，这样我们自然人的 intelligence， 自然人的智慧，那 AI 演算也比较快。那你有提到说，这些 AI 有很多素材，它可能也是跟 Internet 整个网际网路流通有关。那如果 AI 的创作要被保护的话，是不是有可能会限制到这些本来没有 copyright 的东西变成会被保护？所以事实上现在这样的推论似乎比较倾向于不要保护 AI， 大量使用 AI， 或是使用 AI 比例超过就一定比例，比如说二分之一非常高比例的这样的创作，基本上不应该受到著作权的保障。这样大家其实都可以使用这些素材，然后从事数位的创作。这样子才比较公平，是这个意思吗？
I think that's probably the way that things will be going, sort of using your analogy of photography, that AI will be considered a tool, just like a camera is a tool. It'll be an extension of our intelligence, just like a camera is an extension of our visual system. And the creator will be considered the person who's using the tool, but that still doesn't clear up the problem of copyright of the material that goes into it. Is it legal for a machine to, say, scan all of Picasso's paintings or some more recent artist's paintings and enter that into the database? And then I use it for commercial purposes. So maybe I pay the AI company and then I create a piece of art that is created in part by those copyrighted images and then I sell it. This is problematic.
Yeah, 就是其实现在真的在网络上 AI 虽然它是它的 intelligence 看起来它是好像比人自然人还要更反应更快，但是其实它的素材就像你说的也是来自于人自然的创作，比如说 Picasso 或者我们看到梵谷或是看到许多著名的画家艺术家，他们的在 internet 就有他们的作品的那个 image。 所以其实这样子看起来，如果我们只是花了少少的钱然后买到这个人工智慧的软体，然后就可以运用他们去创造作品，然后进一步又可以受到著作权保障的话，那这种行为确实可能会对原来创作自然人的那个艺术创作产生就是不好的影响。所以我们要仔细的去思考，尊重 AI 创作是一回事，跟 AI 创作要不要受到一定著作权的保障又是另外一回事。法律上跟这个艺术创作自由这两方面，现在因为人工智慧的关系有受到的一些挑战，所以这是的确是法律跟美学要去思考的未来的问题，就我们未来的人会遇到的问题。也就是说我可能运用了 Midjourney 或是更进步的 AI 软体做创作，因为现在可以用 AI 软体写论文，我们不用那么辛苦写学术论文，然后还要自己去思考，然后去做推论，然后去收集文献。其实现在 AI 可以帮我们做出甚至比人工写自然人写的论文还要更看起来更更丰富的这些 That's a,
那这样子我们也不能说。
Yeah.
对对对，我们这样似乎也不能说，人工所写的论文，万一它真的表现出比自然人写的论文品质更好，那这时候它会不会影响到我们自然人去写论文的动力，去创作动力？原则上未来的人应该不要担心这个问题，对不对？我们还是会继续写论文。 I don't know, you just scared me though, because this analogy is even more interesting than the last one. You suggested that what if we take the situation of AI and art and we transfer it to AI and academics? Suppose there's an AI that can scan the internet for philosophy articles, and then I give it a prompt and it produces a PhD dissertation. and what happens if that's better than some other student's PhD dissertation? Boy, I have to put some thought into that. That's, maybe we'll have robots in the classroom teaching us.
有，现在已经有了，发明那个对语言的老师，他们用在教英语，在日本，对，然后人工的老师，人工智慧的老师现在已经慢慢开始出现，他们可以辅助大学的老师教学，或者是一般可能，未来确实这个人工智慧可以帮助学习，这一点是，这个当然是乐观的好的事情。问题是人会因为这样，未来的人现在然后未来的人，我们会因为这样而失去了艺术原创的那个就是创作的表现或是创作的能力，不见得我们就会输给 AI， 对不对？还是说 AI 帮助我们可以做得更好？所以这个所谓的美学的进步 aesthetic progress， 就是1903年我想起来那个美国联邦最高法院有一位最杰出的大法官，就是 Oliver Holmes， 你应该美国人非常尊敬他，好像是 Holmes 这个大法官，他1903年就曾经在一个判决里面提到，就是整个应用艺术，使用机械，在那个年代1903年使用机械印刷或者是其他当时的这些 应用艺术正在出现，他是认为说不要小看这些经由机械科技工具所制造出来的东西，它其实背后也有自然人的那个创造力，就是创作性或是原作原创力 originality， 所以应用艺术 useful art 也受到美国宪法的保障，著作权的保障。那如果他的这个原则啊，叫做美学不歧视原则，就是法律人包括法官不要针对那些作品，不管是数位啦还是机械或是电脑做出来的作品，法律人没有办法做美学上面的评断，而是应该要看到底有没有创作人格，有没有原创性，只要能够发现这个作品背后是有原创性，有创作人格的 personality originality， 那这种应用艺术就应该受到保障。对，所以 AI 可能未来也是要受到保障， AI 艺术，只是美国对这个部分讨论好像最近有一些争议，就我们是不是误解了 Holmes 的这个美学不歧视原则。对。
Yeah, so you mentioned at the beginning of that section that part of the conundrum here isdetermining first whether we're in competition with AI or whether AI is an ally. A pessimistic way to look at it is that we may be supplanted by AI in all kinds of creative endeavors. A more optimistic view is that AI will be a tool that we'll use, and just like with photography, we'll adapt to it and we'll use it and probably create new ways of doing art, new perspectives on art through AI. But as you raised, it also raises the question of progress. What does it mean to have progress in the arts? Which takes us back to Oliver Wendell Holmes, the great jurist in the American Supreme Court, in the classic case from the early 20th century, when there was the question of mechanization in the arts, especially in design. And Holmes's view was that we shouldn't be afraid of mechanization, that it's just another tool. What matters is the originality or the creativity of the person who's doing the art. And a jurist, a judge, shouldn't be a judge of the quality of the art, but rather of whether or not it has creativity. Do I have that correct?
对，没有错。只是现在很多的创作，包括我刚刚说学术论文，如果用人工智慧帮忙写的，大量使用，至少二分之一都是人工智慧，而不是我自然人的智慧写出来的东西。或者是像 Alan， 他是完全用 Midjourney 这个人工智慧做的那个图。那这样的话，这个按照 Holmes 他的美学不歧视原则，似乎这些都应该受到保护。但是问题是，假设他的内容是从 Internet 来的学术论文，那或者是这个图的 image 很多，你刚刚说可能是从 Internet Picasso 的图库来的，那这样子它其实就有抄袭的问题。就是 AI 的智慧它之所以可以这么快，它其实有很多大量 copy 到别人的东西，所以照理说 AI 智慧所做的，假设运用我们正确了解 Holmes 的美学不歧视原则，必须要很慎重的运用在 AI， 至少 AI 这个领域里面。
Right. So Holmes's emphasis on originality is extended to AI. I think what you're saying is it might not solve the problem, because Alan says that a lot of the originality came from him, in the sense that he was important to the process. But if the originality came from the AI, then... And the AI relied on, in its learning process, on a lot of copyrighted material, then it may not only not be worthy of copyright itself, but it may be violating other people's copyright.
对，就像之前我们曾经在录哲学十分钟的时候讲过小说的例子，有一位小说家，美国小说家，他可能就是学那个 Gone with the Wind 那个小说，对，那到底这样算不算抄袭呢？可能他写的，可能他把那个飘那个原著里面涉及也许对黑人的一些偏见或什么看法，他可能加以改写，但这是他原创的部分。那到底这是要算是原创还是抄袭呢？这时候法律，站在法律或哲学的观点，要做还是要做美学的判断，这个就还是要回到人的判断，对不对？未来的人。
Yeah, this is one of the problems we see in a lot of contemporary art. And you mentioned a novel that is derived from another novel, like Gone with the Wind, but transforms the setting or transforms the characters. And my understanding of the law is that if it's derivative, it's not protected. If it's transformative, it is protected. And so it will be up to the judge to use their apparently aesthetic taste to determine the proportion, right? How derivative is it? How transformative is it? And so Holmes's rule there about originality doesn't really help.
对，或者是说他的不歧视原则呢，还需要有一些修正。毕竟现在，但是基本上原来的他的精神，我是赞同的。我不知道你觉得呢？他认为法律人、法官不要做美学的品质的判断。
Yeah, I'm also sympathetic with Holmes's view, and that creativity should be a major factor, in determining whether or not something deserves copyright protection. It gets complicated in the case of AI if they're being creative. I'll give you an example. I was toying around with Midjourney, the AI program that Jason Allen used. And I put a prompt in. I put lots of prompts in, but one of the prompts I put in was very simple. It was because my field is Chinese philosophy. I just put Chinese philosophy in. Okay. And it produced four pictures that stunned me. I wasn't expecting anything like what came up. I thought they were creative. I thought they were aesthetically pleasing. And I'll give you an example. So one of the images looked something like a landscape in Yangshuo in China, you know, with with the limestone peaks. But the limestone peaks were actually in the shape of the spine of books. So Chinese philosophy has to do with books and has to do with China. So it took like these, an iconic Chinese landscape image and the book idea, and it mashed them together in a very aesthetically pleasing way. And I was thinking to myself that this is something that a human being would do. One of the hallmarks of creativity is the association of ideas that you might not think of. And this is one of the classic criteria of creativity. And I saw that in this program. I thought, unless it just copied it from some other, you know, image that it had seen on the web, if it came up with this mashing together of ideas, I have no problem calling that creative and attributing creativity to the AI.
所以你有使用那个 Midjourney 这个软体，
yeah.
然后你尝试输入像是中国哲学啊，好，你熟悉的这些， okay. 那你是输入文字还是你也有输入一些图？
Just the two words Chinese philosophy.
那它就能够去，所以这个 Midjourney 这个软体，它真的非常厉害，它可以做出你说的这种 associate 这个联想的能力，是至少超出我们一般已经算是这个领域专家的范围。所以你觉得，如果以它的这个创造性来说，完全不输一般自然人，你会肯定 Midjourney 有这个创造力？
Yeah, and if I submitted that painting to, say, a book design competition, suppose I use it for the cover of a book, and then I submitted it to a book design competition, and it was voted to be or determined to be the best design, I couldn't take credit for it. All I did is put two words in.
Yeah, 所以非常非常的惊人哦，未来的人工智慧。如果现在 Midjourney 这样都可以做出非常具有超乎一般联想力的这种创造性 的这个结果，我们说它是一个结果的话，那未来再进化就会可能会有更惊人的部分。
Right.
那我们应该要跟 AI 人工智慧做朋友，对不对？
I think we should make friends with the AI. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
你以后会跟 Midjourney做朋友吗？就是你会对他好奇，会使用他？
I think, yeah, either that or other ones. Yeah, in fact, I've considered toying around with them some more when I need some design ideas. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you want to design a website or you want to design a logo. I would probably turn to that first because it's free. Well, it's free for a certain amount of dabbling. After you've spent a certain amount of time on it, then it will ask you for money. I think there's a monthly charge of 10 American dollars or something like that.
所以根本不是一个多么豪华的软体。这样子的话，我觉得这个倒是一个很有趣的方向，就是以后我们可以借用像这样子的免费的或者很便宜的人工智慧软体来做一些设计。但是 Brian， 你会认为你用 Midjourney 设计出来的 logo 或是图，或是你会主张不能被 copy 吗？你说这是一种？
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
这是一种什么样的风格？
Yeah,
还是？
Right.
可以 copy 吗？你认为你如果设计出来，你花了非常多，你的想象，那 Midjourney 帮你完成了，这样子你会觉得你要主张这个是你的，你个人 Brian 的创作人格。
Yeah. So if I use Midjourney to create a logo or to create part of my website or to create a book cover, the question you're asking is whether or not I should receive copyright protection. Would it, or a better way, which is how you said it, is it is okay if somebody copies that? And I would have a hard time saying no, it's not okay. I mean, it's sort of like, this is the way I was thinking of it. Suppose that I'm walking down the street and there's a leaf on the ground, and on the leaf is a design that was eaten out by a caterpillar. And I took that leaf and I mounted it in a frame and I sold it. This is a found object. And I don't own the copyright to the leaf. I might own it if I framed it in a certain way, but even that would be questionable. So I kind of see AI as something like that. As a found object. And if you transform it in certain ways, then you can receive copyright for it. If not, then no. And I'll give you an example. So right now there's a controversy in the States. You may have heard about it. Andy Warhol, the famous... Right, the famous pop artist. He took a photograph of Prince, the musician. And he created some silkscreen paintings out of it. And the artist, the photographer who took the original photograph of Prince is suing the Andy Warhol Foundation, saying that she deserves some of the money he's getting for selling those paintings because she took the photograph. And they're saying, no, they transformed it. He added color and he cropped it and... he created this iconographic image of Prince out of what is essentially raw material of the photograph. So similar kind of case, right? What is it about the thing that the AI puts out? Is it more like just a found object that as long as we transform it, we can work with it or not? I don't know.
Oh, AI, wow, Andy Warhol 应该不想要被想象成也算是 AI 的一种吧。Andy Warhol 因为他还是用了他自己对色彩的敏感度，他常做这些 很日常生活的这些东西，这些 object， 所以他用的颜色，他用的这些东西去把 Prince 王子合唱团把他的这个唱片啊，或者是他们的照片再重新改造成一个，虽然看得出来是出自一个照片，可是还是加上 Andy Warhol 他的创造。但 AI 所做的，这站在美学不歧视原则，我们不应该歧视 AI。对，应该是这样。
I don't know. I mean, consider the caterpillar on the leaf. The caterpillar made a beautiful design on the leaf.
对
but not intentionally. And when AI makes a beautiful design, it's also not intentional, right?
这可能要讨论，这样会不会歧视 AI？ 据说 AI 现在也会有感觉，它没有 intentionality， 没有意向性。这个也许我们下次可以来聊，到底意向性，因为未来的人的确那个 intentionality 是现在美学很重要的一个元素。那如果连 AI 都可能拥有这个意向性，那意识意向性，那这样子确实我们要担心未来的人就真的没有自然人的特色了。
Right.
会是这样吗？
yeah,
因为你刚说对你倾向认为 AI 没有 intentionality， 没有意向性。不算有意识、
right.
不会有企图不会哦哦，现在有用 AI 人工智慧来打仗的就是上战场 be a soldier
yeah that's another scary aspect of AI is the possibility of creating AI soldiers
对我们处罚 AI 军人、yeah. 他们或者是 AI他们去做一些犯法的事情，攻击人类的事情。
Sure. I think it was. I can't remember if it was North Korea or if it was Russia announced that they had programmed their missile defense system to automatically respond in kind to incoming missiles and just take humans right out of the decision-making process.And this is another possible use of AI to, because they can, a computer can respond a lot faster than people can. So when it comes to something like defense, do we want to put computers between us and the enemy?
Yeah, 所以这个关于意向性的问题就是挑战了我们哲学上面的这个关于意向性 intentionality 的定义这个概念，未来这会不会是一个重要的 AI 跟艺术最重要的一个要思考的问题？你觉得是意向性吗？
I think eventually we have to consider whether or not AI is capable of intentionality. I don't know if it's right around the corner, but eventually, yeah.
对，就是 AI 它没有要，就是像我们自然人一样要做艺术的那个它的意向性，它没有那个意图。这个也许就是因为意图，我们已经有一个哲学概念，很清楚、很坚固。现在突然要把它用在不是人的身上，我们会觉得很奇怪，对不对？
Right, and just like with the case of personhood that we talked about earlier, a good way to think about it, or one good way to think about it, is to think about animals. And because animals have a certain level of intelligence, they have a certain level of emotions, they have a certain level of needs, wants, and so on, the kind of things that we ascribe to a person. And there are cases of...For example, elephants and monkeys who have been trained to do art. And so if the same question for AI arises for them, do we ascribe creativity and intentionality to them? Do they get credit for their art?
对，人啊，那个之外，其实像小朋友、婴幼儿，还有非常多的不是所谓人类所创造出来，像是动物啊所创造出来的艺术，他们也是非常的美。如果按照康德的美学来说，自然所创造出来的美也是一种艺术。那如果是这样的话，其实 intentionality 意图似乎也没有真的想象中那么重要。
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Kant talks about beauty as springing from nature. And in the case of humans, we add a kind of purposiveness, right? Purposiveness without purpose to art to make it seem like it's created by nature. And if it's the case of animals that are sort of this middle ground between nature and humans, from a Kantian view, well, why not?
自然的美跟艺术的美还是不一样的，所以我们还是要回到人至少他有创作的意向，这件事情是属于人的权利，就回到 right 哲学上面来谈的人的基本的权利，就是他是人的基本的 property， 他的作为人的一个本质，他可以有他表达他想说的话，他的思想，然后所以他可以呈现出来他要做的这个艺术品。就这个角度来说，我们在乎的其实不是漂不漂亮、美不美，而是那个艺术本身就有它的，就是基于人自我表达这个权利本身呢，艺术就受到了一定的保护，对不对？
Right. If there's a distinction between art and nature,It's art that we care about when it comes to human rights. And humans, a distinction between humans and nature when it comes to beauty is that, according to Kant anyways, we use concepts and when we produce our art, right? It's the free play of the imagination and the understanding. So that distinguishes what we do from what nature does.I don't know that that answers the question, though, of, say, animals, because animals could conceivably also have imagination, if not concepts. And an interesting thing about AI, as I understand the way that they are programmed, is that they also, you could say they have something like imagination in a Kantian sense, but they don't have, as far as I understand it, understanding.They don't have the categories. They don't have the concepts in the way that we do. So that might be one way to approach this problem.
Yeah, 好啊，这可以就是我们未来的人要去研究、要去思考的哲学的问题。有趣的美学的不歧视原则，到明年呢，就是120年。然后我自己是想要在今年。然后到明年能够去把 Holmes 的这个美学进步的实用主义哲学的一些想法，包括美学不歧视原则，经历这120年的发展，介绍给很多同学、很多学者。那你呢？你自己现在对美学的研究，或是你的著作写，有什么样的计划吗？
So you said since it's coming up on the 120th anniversary of this important case that Holmes wrote the opinion for, you'd like to spend some of this year investigating that in more detail, which sounds fun. My goals for the coming year with regard to aesthetics and philosophy is art. I'm still working on a project that I completed, a book recently came out that I published called Ziran, which looks at a Chinese perspective on aesthetics, also having to do with the distinction between the nature and the human. So that might be worth talking about. I haven't thought about it in terms of AI, but it might be worth looking into.
Okay.哇，期待！所以《自然》这本书其实已经花了你很长一段时间了。明年会出版英文著作。
No, it's out now. So I published the Chinese version and the English version pretty much at the same time. So there's a version in China in simplified Chinese called《自然与智慧》
okay.
And then there's an English version published in the States called《自然》。They're slightly different books. So if you want to get the Chinese version, it actually doesn't have the aesthetics in it. Only the English version does.
Oh, so English version 的自然，它书名就叫自然，用拼音的。那它是，几月时候印出来了，出版？
It came out two, three months ago.
所以，我可以把我的书寄给你，然后
Yeah, I'll send you a copy.
Yeah. 好，那我再把地址告诉你。太好了，我们下次其实可以来视讯一下，因为今天是第一次， okay. 然后可以看到美国的风景跟台北现在的风景。然后关于我刚刚想到说，美学不歧视120年，然后你又刚好要出版美学跟哲学的书，所以其实刚好可以庆祝一下美国人自己的这个 Holmes 提出来的美学进步啊，美学不歧视也是120周年耶，所以你的书出来会是刚刚好，对不对？
Yeah, I'd love to think more about Holmes's ideas. I'm very sympathetic to pragmatism and pragmatist aesthetics. I'm not convinced that he's a representative of pragmatist aesthetics per se, so that might be worth looking at more closely.
Oh, so you don't think Holmes is a 实用哲学代表?
No, I think he is a representative of pragmatism, but not necessarily pragmatist aesthetics.
OK， 哦，这是一个非常专业又非常有趣的问题。我们也许下一次可以来谈一下什么是实用主义哲学，什么是实用主义或实用美学，这样吗？
Yeah. Great.
两个可以区别。OK， 太好了，那我们就期待下一次见面。我知道你们那边已经快要深夜了。OK， 要跟你说晚安。
Okay, good night from here. Good morning to you, and I look forward to talking to you again, Miaofen.
Okay, 好，今天是世界哲学日，希望大家都有一个非常愉快的哲学思考的一天，让哲学十分钟陪伴你，每一天都更轻松。
Okay, good night.
Good night. Goodbye.